Welcome to the Video Tourism Podcast, and I'm Koji Benton-Williams. The Video Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, Dr. Didi Amokpari, Dr. Jude Amokpari, and Fergus McLaren of Canadian-based Outpost Healthcare delves into their project, which seeks to encourage wellness while on vacation with their Healthy Destinations program for African destinations, and their experience as being selected amongst the 9 finalists at United Nations World Tourism Organization's Healing Solutions for Tourism Challenge. Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I've been joined by Didi, Fergus, and the last name I need to get right, Didi and Jude. Guys, can you introduce yourself?
So, hi, I'm Didi Amokpari. I'm a family physician working in Canada. I'm originally from Nigeria, and I'm the CEO of Outpost Healthcare.
Okay. Jude?
Hi, I'm Jude Amokpari. I'm also a physician. I practice in the state of Georgia in the US. I'm a family physician as well, originally from Nigeria, and I'm currently the chief of global health for Outpost Healthcare.
Okay, and then my buddy, Fergus.
Thank you, Kodra. It's very nice to see you again. My name is Fergus McLaren. I live near the Canadian capital of Ottawa. I am the Director of International Relations and Knowledge Management for the Economic Innovation Institute for Africa. And I'm also the principal for MacDef Tourism Heritage Planning.
Excellent. So this evening we are talking, or this afternoon from your side, we're talking, you know, on our podcast, we talk tourism and everything tourism. And like I said, tourism is everything and everything is tourism. So we decided to have this conversation with you guys to help us understand now that, you know, we're going through a difficult situation right now with COVID, and then what you guys were trying to develop to help destinations manage it well, contain, and in fact, you know, resuscitate the tourism industry. So Outpost Healthcare were part of the UNWTO's Healing Solutions, and I'll let you tell me more about that, then we get into the discussion proper. How did you get into that, and what informed your decision to participate in the, you know, UNWTO Tourism Healing Solution Challenge? Maybe Jude, I'll start from you.
Okay, no, thank you, Kojo. Thank you. So for us, I mean, our focus is healthcare, and okay, you know, that question comes up. You know, how does a healthcare company start talking about tourism? So for us, it's more personal, if anything, because where do you have the most vulnerable populations? It's most of those countries are in Africa and the developing countries. And for us, developing a platform that could provide access to healthcare, it was a no-brainer for us. Africa is home, and who better to fix the problems in Africa than Africans? So that was the big interest for us going home. Put it that way.
Okay.
And when we found out about this, competition, we thought, yes, we're a company that started in North America. You know, it's got American physicians, Nigerian physicians, Canadian physicians, and we're technically not really supposed to know anything about business. And so I think part of it was also being like able to step into the ring and say, you know, let's show the best of what we have. But like Jude said, let's make sure that the solutions that we proffer are collaborative and they're in context. You know, so we have some problems and challenges that are very uniquely African, and there are solutions that have to be tailored to this uniquely African challenges, especially when you're dealing with something as complicated as tourism, which affects everybody. So when you look at the economies and how we can support these different communities, we thought we had a role to play by enhancing the safety of the host communities and giving visitors to those communities some backing in terms of their healthcare. So it came together rather quickly, as you know, and we were very fortunate and very appreciative that the UNWTO recognized our innovation.
Okay, so with my eyes closed, I can tell you that Fergus will be adding the pecs of tourism to it, and you know, telling you guys how destinations may want to hire not to services, but you know, be able to understand how you can fit what you are preparing into their model. Let me come to you, Fergus.
Sure. In terms of, you know, I think one of the things that we, going into it, was an understanding that one of the big issues for a number of communities, particularly those in rural areas, is the varied quality and capacity of healthcare systems. And one of the things, particularly for tourists that would be traveling outside of Accra, for example, or outside of Lagos or Abuja, or any of the other major capitals where most of the services and the economy are concentrated, is that there's a real need to try and, you know, improve and align with the existing healthcare services that are out there. And I think one of the interesting things that we saw from the challenge was that, you know, there's a pretty complex and varied sort of competition of people who are proposing solutions. I mean, I think there were over 1,100 proposers from 100 countries, and to be in the top nine was pretty incredible in terms of, you know, how it was presented. But I think the unique thing that stood out from this, and this is what Jude and Didi and I have discussed, is the fact that it was a 360 approach. It wasn't just the tourists coming to a destination, but the solution that was proposed, it was very well thought out and very comprehensive, is it focused on the community as well. The people who provided the tourism services, the people who are part of the tourism ecosystem and the visitor economy there. So it's not just for the visitors you want to instill confidence in that you're coming to a destination where you have ready and immediate access to high quality healthcare services or diagnoses, but at the same time, you're also serving and supporting the local communities that live within those destinations and support the tourism operations there.
Okay. Didi, now, for those who are not able to join that live presentation that you did, just walk us through what Output Healthcare, you know, was to provide for these destinations. And because I saw in one of the things about swabs and the time and application that you made before you travel to destination, I mean, you're able to pre-tell how you do things. Just walk us through that.
So, thank you. So, you know, as you know, Outpost Health is a physician-led organization. We provide digital health services in multiple countries. So right now we're in Canada, the US, the UK, and in Nigeria, Ghana, Liberia. We initially thought through the healthy destination solution as something that we could offer, and we base it on two primary things. One is the innovative technology, and then the second is the service delivery. So in terms of the technology itself, I'll take a step back and kind of describe what we have. You have the ability to use a mobile device, any internet connected device, so a computer, a tablet or phone, to connect with any healthcare provider. So you could talk to a doctor, you could talk to a nurse, and that technology supports cloud-based, very local, regional storage of your data. So if you're in Ghana, your data is stored in Ghana, if you're in Nigeria, and so on and so forth. And the second thing that we offer is your access to your health record. So that whether you're, you know, in Kumasi or you're in, you know, Benin City, Nigeria, you can take your health records with you anywhere you go. From the perspective of the patient, sorry, of that user of the service, if they travel to another, you know, destination, they are now able to interact with either a locally networked provider, or they can connect with their provider back home, just so that the healthcare follows that patient anywhere they go. So that's the key thing. When we did the presentation, the idea was to walk the average person through this process. So let's say I'm traveling to Nigeria. I'm bringing my data with me. I have connections to my family doctor in Canada, but I also have access to a network of over 600 doctors in Nigeria that I can see. So it's not dependent on us saying now we in North America are providing services for Africans. No, we're supporting collaboratively the care of people within the host community, regardless of wherever that person is, regardless of where that provider is.
So let me ask this very important question. So what you're saying is that for your platform and for your program, you are able to, if I'm traveling, if I'm the traveler, and for example, I'm leaving whatever destination to Nigeria, or I'm leaving Ghana to Nigeria, and I have my records already, my health records already. When I get to Nigeria, I have a pool of network physicians or medical experts or doctors or something that I can rely on based on what I'm going to input. Is that a case?
That's correct.
So and how you do you select your, I mean, what is the parameters to select these health professionals or medical labs?
The health professionals are carefully curated, screened, recruited, you know, so we've vetted them. These are vetted professionals, not just anybody can get on the platform.
Okay.
But now the user has the choice to pick whoever they want to see.
Okay.
You can choose the provider by specialty. Say, I want to see a heart specialist, or I want to see a diabetic specialist, you know, or I have an injury and I just need to know whether this is something that needs to get me to a hospital. That way you can have somebody effectively do like triage for you. And there are other services that we're adding, you know, with every passing month. So
okay.
Connections to labs, connections to pharmacies, and so those sorts of things.
Okay. Now, I don't want to, stop the trajectory of, in which we are going. But look, we have situation in Africa, around the world. And I read one of the reports from Lancet. And they were talking about, fake medicines and stuff on the rise. How do you then use digital tools to determine that maybe one is not being a scam, or there's a fake medicines or medical professional or something? Do you have any system to be able to verify that? If I want to get a medicine and say I'm in whatever city I am, and then I need some medicine and I get from the pharmacy shop or the chemist shop, how do you authenticate that that's original and that's good for the health?
So Judah, let's...
So again, that's a great question. So because of the way we developed our network, it's everyone is screened. So every component to our platform is completely vetted from start to finish. So we don't just plug in just anyone because they're a healthcare provider, because they're a pharmacist. We do our due diligence before we bring them on board, because if there's one thing we're trying to establish is trust. That's everybody says that's the new currency. So if I can't vouch for that medication where it came from, then it's not getting on the Outpost platform. That's basically it.
Okay.
Counterfeit medications are a huge problem.
Yeah.
Massive problem.
Yes.
Okay. So Didi, I'll allow you to continue where you were in terms of giving a broader picture of how it works.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is part of it, because, you know, just to underscore that point that was just made, is our family members, this is how we offer care to them as well. So this isn't some external platform that we look at from a distance. This is what I use to run my own practice. This is how, you know, my uncle, I don't want to out him now, but he's on the platform as well. but we truly, truly believe that if I can't use this for myself, nobody should. It's pretty simple. And we also think that, it's time that Africans receive the same quality of care that everybody else on the planet receives. And we need to push in that same direction. So the care that you receive is the same globally. It's the same. Medicine is the same. The human body is the same. Well, we're no, you know, Africans are no less than anybody else. Why shouldn't we have access to absolutely the best resources and make sure that these are affordable? Okay. So extending that into, you know, specifically for COVID, one of the things about virtual care that we quickly realized was you need to connect patients and providers with remote tools for monitoring their health. So whether those tools are, you know, I need to check my blood pressure, I need to check my sugar, all of those things have to be somewhat connected. And those things, when you measure these things, the doctor, the provider has to be able to access those results in real time or as close to real time as possible. So this led us to, you know, take a real big step back and go, what is something innovative that we can create that is both inexpensive, almost ubiquitous and accessible to everyone, that we can place a device in a remote community in the middle of Kenya, and you're seeing a doctor in Lagos, and your information about your blood pressure is transmitted directly in real time. And so that led us to that innovative box that we designed. We started testing it out now. And, okay, you know, you will probably be back on another podcast to tell you what.
We need to follow it because I think they're very interested. And when I sat through those presentations, I was very convinced that because you did indicate the whole tourism ecosystem of how you start to travel and then when you can get the result. And because what we've been reading from experts and physicians about this coronavirus itself is something that it may live with us. Okay.
Yes.
And the fact that people have become more conscious about their health. So when you spoke about the things about health, we are getting into another realm of wellness, of you traveling and not just holiday. Yes, you're going to have a holiday, but the component of wellness now become part of our discipline. I mean, if you want to, but it's
true.
It's something that we want to follow it up. So Fergus, in terms of the tourism ecosystem and with your experience, how do you then, influence the whole architecture of what the team is trying to put together? Because, for example, if someone is traveling and he needs that particular result early to move and all of that, how does he do all of that?
Well, thanks, Kodra. That's a good question. And that, I think, as I said before, a lot of it is in the launch phase, in the sense of, health passports, pre-quarantines, pre-testing, etc. But there's not a lot of discussion that you're seeing what actually happens when you arrive in a country. And I think, again, that's a really critical element because, you know, that's where you're going to be away from your family physician. You're going to be away from your traditional sources of medicines and pharmacies and hospital infrastructure. And I think one of the key things is that, you know, at the end of the day, for a lot of these countries, it's to instill confidence in the traveler that when you travel here to our country, you will return home safely to your country at the same time. I mean, that's what I've often told my, you know, you want, when I travel, I try to come back with most of my body parts. So it's really impossible. It's not impossible. It's really important to really sort of focus on that aspect. And I think one of the critical things is that, you know, we've been discussing with various tourism ministers who are in West Africa. We have colleagues in other parts of the continent as well. And there's a real and firm interest to regenerate and recover tourism. And I think one of the key things that, you know, a lot of, think of the countries in the region. Think of Sierra Leone and Liberia that were dealing with Ebola. How long did that take to recover the visitor economies there, with people still having this perception or this image of these types of diseases there? So, you know, they have thankfully been able to recover from that, and they've really worked hard to promote the image and, you know, profile of their countries. But at the same time, this is a whole new wave. And for people from North America, Europe, and more importantly, other parts of Africa to travel, that confidence has to be instilled. And this is one of those tools where if you save for a destination, we have this in our hotel or at our site or at our venue. This is a way you can say, you know, you can travel here with the knowledge that should something happen or should something go sideways related to COVID or something else, we've got your back. We're there for you to support you with infrastructure that can connect you real time. You're not waiting for a day. You're not waiting for weeks. It's right there, right then, and it can be diagnosed accurately, carefully, with a good cadre of doctors whom you can work with.
Okay. Jude, now, as we wrap up our conversation, because we'll be delving extensively on this project. I mean, we will come again more than 2-3 times to talk about the progress reports and all of that, because it's Africa to the world, and you know the fact that we can use that to help also enhance the tourism experience. What would be your advice for destinations, particularly African destinations, in the wake of this pandemic, and how we're going to do things? Because now we are going to what we say new normal. Now we know that a new normal, a fulcrum of the new normal, will be health, health and safety. What would be your advice as a practitioner?
Well, first of all, we'll tell them that they need to be optimistic, because there truly is a plan. This is not just a talk thing. We're actually doing. And just demonstrating the effectiveness of this platform that we've built, every community is different. So all these pilots that we're running concurrently, we're in different communities, their needs. Some of the things we've developed that apply here in North America are of no interest to people in Africa, and vice versa. But for those destinations there, we're looking for partnerships. Okay. And this is a global crisis that affects everyone. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because we talked about this thing, Didi, I think it was 2018.
2018 and yes, Las Palmas.
It was a very prescient comment that I made that, you know, a global health crisis was coming and it was going to cripple the global economy. Sounded like just in and out of, you know, the ears of the audience, but here we are today. But that's not to say, you know, people don't listen or there weren't any plans in place. It's now we're dealing with this right now. How do we move forward? And we do have a plan. And we're looking for partnerships now, because we can formulate those plans with you, customize and tailor those plans specific to your community.
Okay.
I'll add to that. Yeah. I'll add to that by saying the partnership that we talk about, the cut across, partnership with individual practitioners that want to join a network. Hospital systems that want to join our network. So for example, now we're partnered with a large federal hospital in Nigeria. We're running multiple pilots within that institution, including education of their resident doctors, including, seeing patients. And these are things that we've been doing now for quite a few years. And we simply applied some of the principles we learned working with our patients in Haiti, after the earthquakes, to the present situation. So some of that disaster planning, some of that risk mitigation, being able to help doctors think holistically rather than just this one-on-one visit that I'm having with my patient. What are the additional things that this patient might need? Whether they're here in Lagos, in Nigeria, in Ottawa, a human being is still a human being.
Sure.
My message to providers and our colleagues is partnerships work. They're collaborative and they bring all of us together equally, because the goal is still the same. We want to advance healthcare. We want to advance the social impact of what we're doing, and we can't do it alone. We need partners.
Okay. Now, in brief, what would be your advice? Because now we have information overload, and sometimes what we're going through, if people are not careful, they will latch onto every information. What would be your advice in brief?
I would say safety first, and, be logical. Viruses, if you're talking specifically about COVID, viruses have existed for millions of years. They will outlive us. The big problem that we have right now is this is one that humans haven't been exposed to previously. So we have no immunity to it. So it's going to take some time. But in that process, let's not lose our head. You know, let's not lose our heads. Let's not cripple ourselves. We can be smart and we can get through this. The good news for us is we're going to come out more resilient. We're going to come out with a better healthcare system. Because all that this did is that it just exposed all the flaws and all the gaps in our infrastructure. And that's a good thing in a sense, because it readies us for the next time and the next time. But what's going to come out of this is the average person will see that there is more connectivity to everybody else. Okay. You know, so the advice of, you know, wash your hands, you know, wear a mask, be safe.
Those common sense protocols things, and all of that.
Adhere to the protocols. They're common sense protocols, you know?
Yeah.
I will tell you one fascinating thing I learned recently was the concept of vaccination, believe it or not, originated from a slave in West Africa in the 1600s or 1700s. That concept was taken over to North America and commercialized. But it was an African slave who realized that, okay, other people are getting sick. If I take the fluid from that person and use it, I actually am protected. So healthcare, innovation, and Africans aren't mutually exclusive things. These are things, some of these things are, you know, in our DNA. Some of these things are cultural. But we do need partnerships, global partnerships, because this is a global health problem.
Okay, Fergus, your final words. Ask you up for less than a minute.
Final words. I think that, you know, I met Jude and Didi 2 years ago in Las Palmas, and really fascinating concept, and really in terms of the way that the global internet and electronic systems and connectivity has worked, is that it was about possibility. And now, 2 years after the fact, it's about probability, because we have, as Didi just said, you know, viruses have always been with us, but look where we are right now. We're in a circumstance not only where it has gone global and it is something new and we're scrambling to try and deal with it, but at the same time, our systems and our way of dealing with it are much improved and are much more accessible. And, you know, the challenge is with these systems and technology in place, how are you able to get it out to those broader audiences, whether it's for tourism purposes, destinations, the people who live there, the people who visit there, or communities elsewhere? I mean, so, you know, essentially what I was, Kojo, that's great. So essentially what I was saying is that, you know, we moved to a probability where we need to be working with these sorts of digital health systems. And as I said, you know, you're in a place where for a visitor, we all travel with our cell phones or our mobiles now or a device. It's our point of connection. It's how we travel. It's how we get around a destination, find out about the best hotels to travel to, purchasing things while we're there in place. It is sort of our key element that we work with. And I think the fact now that you can have things like secure health records, access to physicians, access to diagnoses, is just an extension of those tools that, you know, we use as part of our travel. But the most important thing about it is that it's a life-saving tool. The others are facilitating tools. But in the case of something that, you know, Outpost is trying to achieve with this approach and this initiative, and, you know, working with communities that are there, is that it's something that has a very critical life-saving element to it as well. And for visitors, you know, as I said before, it's really important to be able to be confident that you can travel to a destination safely and get back safely to your family and your loved ones.
Okay. So finally, in terms of the partnership between your health units and the traveler and, you know, the private sector, government, how does it work? And what kind of collaboration are you expecting from policymakers to be able to? Because you see, if you take health as itself, it's a bit like a technical, or if you like, a gray area. So you realize that the tourism, you know, tourism establishments or the tourism boards and all of that seem to be very, you know, a bit laid back. So how do you bring them together to let them understand that in the wake of this pandemic and how things have changed, how can they play, or how can we have, you know, a kind of a tripartite thing to shape the future of African destination with tourism, but also ensuring that we are living responsibly.
So the primary approach for us now, I'll let Jude speak to this, you know, in his capacity. But the primary approach that we're taking is, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. If we can just contribute a little bit and advance healthcare, all the communities that we touch are going to benefit. You know, tourism in Africa is not sort of like a luxury type thing. Tourism is life. Tourism, the amount of, you know, investments and the amount of dollars that come in for tourism actually sustains a lot of communities. So you can quickly see the devastation in communities where you've basically had no tourism for what we're going on 6 months now.
Yes.
You know, and the trickle-down effect, you know, from the actual, you know, could be a tour operator to the family
member, yeah,
is massive. And that in turn affects the economy. So we think that, as you had described it, healthcare is a central critical fulcrum in this, in the piece of the economies of small communities, large communities. So being able to get in there and make the right partnerships is critical because it touches everything. So I'll allow Jude, you know, some time to chat about partnerships.
Yes. So
can you tell us about the partnership?
Yes. So partnerships are very, very important for us. So one of my roles is entry into these other communities, these other countries, and we're constantly in talks with the key stakeholders. So the major hospital systems, small hospital systems, individual practitioners, pharmacists, everybody in that healthcare value chain, we're constantly in talks with. And our focus, as Didi mentioned, is not just coming in with healthcare. When you talk about global health, there's so many other pieces that, you know, plug into this term, global health. Poverty is a big factor when you talk of global health. Your social issues, mortality rates, you know, things like that, education, even religion, all those play a role into global health. So when we're going into all these communities, the focus is how do we tailor a solution for your specific needs, not just this one size fits all.
Yes.
So that's where we feel like our success has been, is because we're very involved in that conversation and that planning. It's really, really customized healthcare. But the key now is access. You will have access to healthcare. It's going to be a choice for you.
Okay.
And we want to change that narrative of healthcare being this forbidden conversation, or it's when things are very dire, or, you know, end of life, that people start talking about it. No, the new generation, healthcare needs to be a conversation at, you know, when you're drinking beer with your friends, or, you know, at the dinner table. We need to talk about healthcare, because all these things I talked about are all connected. Yeah. And whether we like it or not, and I hate to go that route again, but whether we like it or not, it's something that's, this is the time.
You know, I mean, the whole world has stopped. The whole world has stopped.
Exactly.
Every attention is on that. And every day you're looking at, I mean, it got to a point that I think everybody was getting tired of the updates in every country in terms of the numbers or the test or et cetera and all of that. But then again, if you don't fix the basics, you cannot start flying again. And then I bring it to Fergus and look at how can people read more about Outpost Healthcare, with specific focus on what you did with the UNWTO Healing Solutions. If someone want to read about it and want to look at exactly what you guys are putting across, where can they find them? Is there any particular website or something?
Didi and Jude, being as innovative as they are, they've got a whole social media program that's out there. They're well connected across different platforms, and you get to see their handsome faces across all of them. So,
you're too kind.
Didi, tell us about it. Yeah. Now tell us where we can connect and where we can get some advice, piece of advice. And, you know, look, sometimes the challenge is that, you know, some of the challenges that we know, you know, respect to our friends from the, you know, from medical side, is that at some point in time, and again, sorry for the description, that people believe that, you know, they are on some high horses that I have to come down to it. You know, so that's the thing. That's accessible.
We want to
and people can talk about it. Yes. Yeah.
So what we say all the time is, what we provide is healthcare without boundaries.
Yes.
And so it's you know, cost boundaries, accessibility boundaries, class boundaries,
true,
economic boundaries, all those walls, we've broken all of them down. Okay. So for our primary partnerships, you know, a quick email is great.
Okay.
So people can email us at partnerships@outpost.health.
Okay.
So I'll say that again, it's partnerships@outpost.health. And then our website is www.outpost.health. And it's pretty easy to navigate, and all these sections are on there. So we'll, of course, like Kujo, you said, you know, we're going to be updating.
No, you have to, because the time was too short to have all the conversation. Because I was going to ask again, and how was the experience with the UNWTO tourism, you know, the tourism challenge in terms of, you know, how people appreciated what you guys were offering and all of that. But like I said, in the coming weeks and months, we will keep track of what you're doing. And then I'll be happy to broadcast to our followers and listeners updates from your end in terms of articles and things that you like to share. Because in this moment also, it's very critical that we get to know the correct information and how we can be able to, you know, do things. So if you have information that you believe that can help the tourism industry, because, you know, tourism and health, I tell you what, it's sometimes, yeah, I mean, tourism is everything, but it's quite a bit distance from it. So now we can be able to have that conversation with you guys and then take it from there. So you're welcome every time on Voyage Afrique, and we are hoping and willing to bring you back again for you to explain and tell us the success stories, because we would like to see the thing in Africa and how you guys want to pilot it here, and you can tell us what happened in the other country. So thank you so much for your time, Didi, Fagos, and Jude. And hope to have you back on the Tourism Podcast.
Thank you, Kodra. That was
merci
great.
Beaucoup. Much appreciated. Gracias. Right.
Thank you very much.